Hello there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for stopping by. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I certainly hope you can stick around and spend a little time with me as this week we discuss the Mass readings for the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. Now, this is a big day, not only because we focus on one of the three messages of the Epiphany. Now, the Church has always taught that the Epiphany really has three parts. It's the visit of the Magi to Jesus, it's the baptism of the Lord, and it's also the wedding at Cana. Three instances where Jesus manifests himself to the world. This is going to be one of them. So we'll look at the readings for the baptism of the Lord today. But another reason that this day is important is because it draws to the Christmas season draws to a conclusion with this feast. So beginning tomorrow, we go back into ordinary time. We'll stay in ordinary time for a few weeks until we begin Ash Wednesday. We begin Lent on Ash Wednesday on February the 18th. So again, this is a shift in the seasons. We leave Christmas, we head into ordinary time, and we get prepared to go into the Lenten season. But today, I don't want to get ahead of myself. The focus will be on the baptism of the Lord. And I, again, I'm really, as I tell you each week, I'm very appreciative for your presence. You know, I really sense you with me in this program. I know I'm looking technically at an empty chair in front of me, but I know that's you. So I like to look at it as you and me sitting around the table. And I literally record this program at my dining room table. I have my computer set up. I've got an empty chair in front of me. And I know you are in that chair. So thank you so much for stopping by. Let's get to it. Let's begin the show with prayer. And then on the other side, we'll set up the program a little bit more. And we'll get ready to look at the Mass readings for the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. So as we do that, as we transition from my opening comments into prayer, I just want to call your attention to the fact that God is with us. God, our Heavenly Father, is present with us right now. He can see us. He can hear us. He knows he's in complete control of our lives. He loves us. And we're about to turn to him with prayers of thanks and praise and a little bit of contrition and also prayers of petition. So let's turn to our Father now and begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being present with us. We know that you are with us right now. We know that you can see us and hear us. We know that you love us. We know that it pleases you when we turn to you in prayer. We know that you're bigger than any problem we could ever face. And we know that you would only allow things to happen in our lives that can help us in some way. So, Father, first of all, we praise you. We praise you for your ability to be everywhere at one time, for you to be your ability to be all-knowing, all-seeing. Sometimes we lose sight of that fact that you always know what's best, and you can always be with us no matter where we are. You've done great things throughout history. You brought a Savior into the world when we needed the Savior. You've given us what we've needed throughout our lives. So we praise you for your great ability and your infinite love for each of us. We also thank you for the many blessings that we have received. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And as we look at this manifestation of Jesus in the feast of the baptism, of his baptism, we give thanks for our own baptism as well, in which we became children of you. So we thank you for adopting us when we were baptized. We thank you for enabling us to be part of the mystical body of Jesus, the church. And we're grateful for all the graces that come from the sacrament of baptism. Father, in the event we've messed up and didn't do what we should have done in certain cases, or maybe did things we shouldn't have done, we ask you to forgive us, please. To ask you to forgive us and be merciful to us and grant us the grace to do better and the resolve to cooperate with that grace. And finally, Father, we ask for what we need. We pray for our families, for our friends. We pray for our country, for the world, for the souls in purgatory. We pray for healing in body, mind, and spirit for all who are sick. We pray for all who are traveling, all who are looking for work, all who are struggling with their faith. We pray for those who have left your church. We pray for those who don't even know it's possible to have a relationship with you. We pray for all of our own personal needs as well. And lastly, Father, I ask you to give me the words today on the program. I want this to be your show and not my show. So please give me the words so that I can deliver the message that you have for us, and also open all of our hearts and our minds so that we could hear what you have to say and put it into practice in our lives. Father, as we always do, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. And again, thanks for stopping by. If you're just tuning in, I'm Gary Zimak. We do this program each week when we reflect on the particular Sunday Mass readings for the particular week. Right now, we're going to look at the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, the day in which the Christmas season draws to a close and we get ready to enter into ordinary time. If you want to find out more about my work, head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com. You can also go there to sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, or to find out how to bring me to speak at your parish or your conference. It's followingthetruth.com. And you know, I told you this before, but it is not too late to book something for Lent of 2026. Is I have some openings this year. So if you want to give up worry for Lent talk or a parish mission, head over to followingthetruth.com and let me know. I just got a request the other day. This is an unusual year. I think some of it has to do with the fact that I consolidated my three-day parish missions into one-day events, so I have more time this year than I've had in the past. So I do have openings, and if we could work it out, I would love to speak at your parish or your conference. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go, and it's not too early. You know, it's a few weeks away from Lent, so it's not too early to pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, my book that always seems to sell out each Lent. So now's the time to get yourself a copy. Just head on over to followingthetruth.com and you can pick it up there. All right, let me take a sip of my water with a slice of lemon in it today. I love water with lemon. Soothes my throat a little bit, so I'm able to talk more. It's difficult sometimes to do a full 30 minutes when you're by yourself. I don't have a backup, so if my voice starts giving out, I don't have a backup. But that's not your problem. That's my problem. Let's get right to this. So before I talk myself into a corner here, I'm looking at the readings. They are not especially long today, so we'll have no problem getting them all in. And once again, these readings are from the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. Let's do what we always do on this program. We start with the gospel, then we'll back it up and look at the other readings which support the gospel. Gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." You know, this is one of those gospels that we can look at and really miss the point. There's a lot that's taking place here. And for one thing, we see, let me just try to unpack it a little bit. One thing, we see the humility of John the Baptist. John knew his role. John knew that he was the one who was to announce the coming of the Messiah. And once Jesus came on the scene, which was happening now, when Jesus was being baptized, this was the beginning of his public ministry. John knew that his role was basically finished. You know, John would still continue to draw a few people, to lead a few people to Jesus, but essentially he knew that his role as the precursor, as the one proclaiming the arrival of the Messiah, his role was drawing to a close. John was very humble. We could see that here when John said, I don't want to baptize you. I need, John said, to be baptized by you, Jesus. But Jesus said, allow it now, for thus it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is the plan that God the Father had for Jesus to officially institute the sacrament of baptism. And that's really what was taking place. Yes, Jesus did not need to be baptized in the sense that you and I need to be baptized. He had no original sin, and he was Jesus, so he did not need to be incorporated or into himself or adopted by his Father as we do. But what he was doing was giving an example, but more importantly, he was instituting the sacrament of baptism so that you and I could be baptized into Jesus one day, become members of the church, become children of God, etc. You know, be able to one day live forever in heaven. And that's one of the things that baptism makes possible for us. But John didn't want to do it at first. But he also was humble enough to listen to Jesus. You know, even though he said, no, I shouldn't baptize you. You should baptize me. When Jesus said, John, go ahead and do it. This is the plan. This is the way it's supposed to work. John listened. You know, sometimes we can be so humble that we can be proud, if that makes any sense. You know, like whether it comes to accepting charity or going along with something the church teaches, we could be so humble that we refuse to listen to the Lord when he's telling us to do something. And in this case, John was humble enough to let Jesus to baptize Jesus when Jesus told him to do that. We see after Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. This is the vision that John the Baptist was able to see. And a voice came from the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And this, for you and I, we get this incredible endorsement of Jesus, everything that Jesus said and did, from God the Father. Remember, you and I accept Jesus as the Messiah. We accept him as the Son of God. At the time when Jesus first came on the scene, people were struggling. And there were many people who did not accept Jesus. Many people who did not accept that he really was divine. He was really the Son of God. He was really the Messiah. Some people did not believe that. And he had to make it, there had to be a way where the people would be encouraged to believe in him. And it, you know, in a sense, that still happens today. Many times people don't believe in Jesus, who he is, his power. They don't feel the need to listen to the teachings of his church or whatever. And this is a reminder for all of us, because, you know, I think there are times when we all maybe stray, even though we don't intend to. Maybe there's a certain teaching of the church or something Jesus said that we have a hard time with. And even if we don't deliberately disobey it, maybe we kind of forget about it. You know what I mean? Like, well, I know I'm supposed to love my enemy, but I don't know. Let me just not think about that because this guy bugs me too much or something like that. But this is a reminder for us that God the Father says everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus continues to teach through his church. This is my Son speaking to you. Listen to him. You know, so and in a sense, and I think I heard Father Larry Richards talk about this at a conference one time. When we were baptized, we can hear the words of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son or daughter with whom I am well pleased. You know, baptism changes us. Baptism transforms us, even though in many cases it's almost like a ritual and people don't realize the importance of baptism. No, baptism is a tremendous sacrament. It transforms us into children of God and incorporates us into the church. It allows us to live in the Trinity. I mean, this is a big deal. So this is an important sacrament. Even though we receive it once, and most of us don't remember when we were baptized, it is a big deal. It is a life-changing, an eternal life-changing event. So try to be grateful, or choose to be grateful for the gift of baptism in your life and the fact that you are now able to live forever in heaven because of baptism. Let's back up and look at the first reading, Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. Now this is a prophecy written about by Isaiah, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And what we see, the events we see at the baptism of the Lord. Here he comes, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. He is here. He is here to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. The light has come into the world. And we see this scripture play out for the first time when Jesus is baptized. And you know, you have to try to put yourself in the place of people who may have been around when Jesus first came on the scene, who hopefully knew the scriptures and recognized, wait a minute, all of these things that Isaiah the prophet wrote about, they're taking place now. They're coming true. And that gives credibility to Jesus. Because again, somebody comes on the scene, claims to be the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah, there obviously are going to be people who will be skeptical and who will question his authority. Is he really the one? You know, and in a sense, that's good. That sense of skepticism or caution is probably a better word. It's a good thing because there are people who claim to be all kinds of things even today. You know, they claim to be anointed or they're speaking on behalf of God and they say some crazy things. So we do have to be cautious. Not everybody who says he received a vision from the Lord, for instance, we can't take them all seriously. They have to prove themselves. We have to be careful before we follow someone. But if someone back in the time of Jesus knew this scripture as they should have, they could look at what Jesus is saying, what he's doing, hear the voice of God saying, this is my beloved son, and put it all together and say, yeah, this is the guy. Scripture is being fulfilled. But I think we all, even let's bring it up to our own present time, we need to be open. We need to be open to the working of Jesus in the world, in our lives, so that we don't always discount these opportunities that we encounter, maybe even miracles that we see or certain events. You know, this is how God speaks to me, and I don't want to overlook it. Am I open to the Lord working in my life through other people, through the church, through my own circumstances? And I think that's a good message for us. Are we willing to see Jesus in the circumstances of our own lives? And then, are we willing to follow him and listen to him as God encouraged the people to do when Jesus was first baptized? Psalm 29 is the responsorial psalm today. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is coming into the world. Now, he's here now. He's already been born. He already died on the cross and redeemed us. That's done. Now it's just a matter of us to cooperate with the grace that he gives us, to allow ourselves to be transformed and to one day to reach heaven. Give to the Lord, you sons of God. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Adore the Lord in holy attire. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The Lord over vast waters. The voice of the Lord is mighty. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And here's another example. Back from Psalm 29, again, Old Testament stuff, the Hebrew Scriptures. People hearing the voice of God over the waters when Jesus is being baptized. Hopefully, their minds will go to this particular psalm and say, yes, this is what was prophesied. This is the way it's supposed to play out. The voice of the Lord over the waters. Back to responsorial psalm. The God of glory thunders, and in his temple all say glory. The Lord is enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And we were certainly blessed, and we continue to be blessed, with the arrival of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. So he has come into our world, and he does grant us his supernatural peace, a peace that the world can certainly not give. The peace that Jesus gives is different. It's not favorable circumstances. It's not pleasure. It's not good things happening. The peace of the Lord is supernatural, and only Jesus can give that peace. In fact, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that fruit of peace. It's deeper than the peace that the world gives. And if maybe you know that, maybe you've gone through some really tough circumstances, but you found that peace that the Lord was able to give you in the midst of that. Well, that's because his peace is bigger than any problem we could ever face. It can coexist with problems. It can coexist with storms. It's an internal peace, but it's really powerful. And that's what the Prince of Peace gives. Let's look at the second reading, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power." See, that's what happened in the gospel that we read today. Jesus is officially anointed when he's baptized, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. "He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil," to in fulfillment of Scripture, right? That's what the people were expecting, "for God was with him." And we got that evidence that God is with Jesus when he proclaimed that voice from the heavens today in the gospel, saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So all of these readings center around that incredible event of the baptism of the Lord. And I would recommend that you just spend a little time today thinking about that. Try to put yourself in the place of the people who were gathered around, maybe also in the place of John the Baptist, who initially resisted Jesus wanting to be baptized, saying that he didn't need to repent, right? Jesus didn't need to repent, and he didn't. But he did it because he was humble and he wanted to institute this sacrament of baptism, which is, my words are going to be insufficient to really, I would think, to make you as excited as you should be for the sacrament of baptism, because it's one of those things where it's very difficult to adequately appreciate how great baptism really is and how necessary it is and how important it is. But I just am doing my best to try to get you excited about your baptism and make you realize, and make myself realize too, that it's the key to getting to heaven, because we are transformed into a new creation when we're baptized. And again, you don't always have to feel it. Rather, it's important that you appreciate it and that you understand it intellectually. I think that's the real key, because we can't force ourselves to feel something. And every day I am grateful for my baptism. And that's because the more I think about it, the more I read about it, the more I pray about it, the more important I realize that it is. Because there's a lot of grace. You get a lifetime supply of grace when you're baptized. You get the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. So a lot of times we'll say, "Oh, my faith is not good enough. I wish I had more faith." Well, you receive faith when you're baptized. Faith is a gift. And through sacramental grace, as you go through your life, that faith can increase. You know, and you get faith, I've heard it said, it's in the form of a seed when you're baptized. And that faith is expected to grow. But you get the initial dose of faith when you're baptized. And that faith gives you the ability to believe that what God has revealed is true. And also, it allows you to exercise that belief and put it into practice. You know, I know that what God said is true. Well, now I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to ask in prayer for incredible things. If I need a miracle, I'm going to, in faith, ask for that. I'm going to choose to believe in Jesus. I'm going to exercise my faith, even though I can't see him, and even though at times he doesn't feel real. That's normal. Don't get hung up on that if you don't feel the presence of the Lord or he doesn't seem real. We all go through that. And that's why walking by faith is a decision. But we have the capability to do that. We have the capability to believe because of the faith we received in baptism. You know, and it's hard sometimes. But that's why the Lord knew that, and he gives us this gift, one of the gifts. Is the gift of faith to help us believe. So try to appreciate and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to better appreciate your baptism and the power of it, because it's an incredibly powerful sacrament. And we only receive it once. You can only be baptized one time because that's all you need. And again, that's sometimes hard to really accept that I am still getting grace from my baptism that I received so many decades ago. But that's true. You only need it one time. And now you have been transformed. You've been adopted by God as a son or a daughter, and you are ready. You know, we have to work at it still, but you basically have your room in heaven reserved for you. Now you just got to cooperate with the grace the Lord gives you and continue to walk with him each day. Okay, so that's all I have to say about the baptism of the Lord. Now, next week, we will be back, God willing, with the Mass readings for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. We enter into the first week of Ordinary Time this week. And next Sunday is going to be the second Sunday, all right? I'm going to continue to pray for you. Please pray for me. And I thank you for stopping by. God bless you. Thank you again. And I look forward to joining you next week on the program. Bye-bye.